Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
What's going on, 11 o'clock? How you guys doing today? Come on now, 11 o'clock. You can do a little better than that. Okay. All right, the rain, I think, has stopped. Come on now, you slept in a little bit. Give me some energy in here, all right? Well, my name's Tevin Sims, and I get the honor of being the campus pastor here at the Charleston campus, and I am excited to share God's word with you today. And one of the reasons why I'm sharing the word with you today is because our lead pastor, Pastor Brandon, and his wife Ashley are out of town this weekend because they are celebrating 20 years of marriage. Can we celebrate that? Yeah. I know they're probably tuned in right now, so we can do a better job of honoring them and celebrate it. We're talking 20 years. Yeah. 20 years. I believe one of the greatest gifts that our pastor could give us as a church is the model and example of what it looks like to have a godly marriage, husband and wife, to follow after Jesus together, to raise a family up. And Pastor Brandon and Ashley, they do that better than anyone that I know. And so we're super grateful for them and praying a blessing for them or 20 and more and 20 times 20 times 20, many, many more years of what God's going to do in and through their marriage. Well, in case you didn't know, Friday night, 2 days ago, this room was filled with ladies having a great time at the ladies' luau. If you were a lady in the room, let me hear you. Were you here? They were having a lot of fun. I won't do any of the hula dancing moves that they learned, some figure eights and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? I won't do it. But they had a great time Friday night, and you heard about summer circles just a moment ago from Pastor Robbie. And the reason why we do the ladies' luau, the reason why we're doing summer circles, if you're new with us at Awaken Church, what you'll find out about Awaken Church is that we love relationships, that this is great, but one of the things that we care a lot about and we prioritize is connecting people to other people. And so that's why we do the ladies' luau. That's why we got summer circles, family dinners, summer hangouts. And so take advantage of what's happening here. Take advantage of not just being connected to the ministry, but being connected to the people of Awaken Church. And so you can go, like Robbie said, go to our Awaken app and sign up to either host a family dinner or a summer hangout. Well, we are starting a new series today called Fulfilled, and we're going to be looking for Jesus in the Old Testament. And I'm excited about this series because I believe that when we go to the Old Testament, we're going to see some of these stories that we may know or some stories that you don't know, but we're going to see Jesus in each of these stories. And I pray that this would actually even help us to grow in our faith, but also teach us how to read the Old Testament over the next few weeks. So turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 17. Verse 17, it says this: "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." I've titled today's message, "Are You Covered? Are You Covered?" Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for these moments we have together. And as we open up your word and have an encounter with you, would you show us who you are? May we experience the fullness of your presence and hear from you so clearly. May we become aware of what you are doing in our lives and what you want to do in our lives and how you want to shape us and mold us to be more like your son, Jesus. I pray that you would speak through me as I open up your word and I share your truth. It's not my words, Lord, but your words. So I pray that you would get glory in these next few moments. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, as we kick off this series, I wanted to share a little something about who I am. You may or may not know this, but I am a twin. I have a twin brother, right? And what's crazy is our Somerville campus pastor, Lucas Denson, he also is a twin. He has a twin brother. Now, Lucas and his brother, they look alike. You can run into them on the street and you probably will question, is this Pastor Lucas or is this his twin brother? If you ran into me and my brother on the street, you probably wouldn't know that we were related. We don't look alike, all right? But we still are twins. And being a twin means that we are connected, right? It means that one of the things that my brother and I have, we share, is that we have twin names, the typical twin names. So my name's Tevin. You can probably guess what his name is. Just drop the T, it's Evan, right? Tevin and Evan, right? My parents are really creative with it, right? You don't get one of us, you get both of us. And we've always been attached at the hip. I think about birthday parties. I've never had a birthday to myself. Maybe you get to enjoy that because you're not a twin, but I've shared my birthday my entire life, right? Or I think about even getting invited to other friends' birthday parties. I've received pity invites because my brother got invited from a classmate. It's like, you can't just do one, you got to do the other too, right? Even in sports, when we signed up for rec ball, you don't just get one of them, you get both of them. We're both on the same team, right? I've got some pictures for you. It even went to our outfits. My mom dressed us up together. Yep, that's me on the right there. Yep, Sunday best right there. Uh-huh. Yep. 1+1. My mom still has that on her car, that tag right there. Yep, I think we got one more after this one. Keep that one up there. Listen, this is funny. That picture was taken at Kmart. Who remembers Kmart right there? Yeah, Kmart. You see the Olin Mills right there? That's good stuff right there. That's what real family portraits are taken. The all white right there. Man. All right, take it down. Right? We have always been connected, right? One of the things that also we were connected through is my dad had this philosophy that if one of us got in trouble, then we both got in trouble, which meant we both got the punishment, right? It was built in accountability. He would say, if one of us got in trouble at school, he would say, well, you let him do it, right? So you're both going to get in trouble. Or my mom would, we'd be acting up at home and my mom would hit us with the famous line, wait till your dad gets home. We both knew that meant for both of us, right? We were always connected. We still are connected. We'll always be connected. When we look at Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians who are living in Rome, well-educated people. And he's making a connection in Romans chapter 5, and he's making a connection between two people. He's making a connection between Adam, and he's making this connection between Jesus. And there are some similarities between the two of them, but there also are some differences between the two of them. But for us to understand Romans chapter 5 and understand what Paul is saying, we got to travel back to Genesis. And so as we kick off this series, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. So go back with me to Genesis and in the beginning. In the beginning, God was, God is, and will always be. He has no start. He has no end. And God speaks words and things were set into motion. He spoke and it was. He hung the moon and the stars. He formed the land. He created every living creature on this planet. And then he created Adam out of dust, out of clay. And he said, this is good, but the only thing that is not good is that Adam is alone. So he then creates Eve. And Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 are living in perfect relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. God had given the garden to them and said, hey, I want you to work it and to keep it. They are living in paradise. Everything is going great. And when we get to Genesis 3, things begin to change. Genesis 3 starts out by saying that Satan comes in the form of a serpent. And he approaches Eve. And he begins to question the word of God. He says, did God really say you can't eat of any tree in this garden? You see, Satan is also called the father of lies. He's questioning the word of God. And even his questioning is actually a lie because that's not what God instructed Adam to do. If you go back to Genesis 2, he actually said, hey, Adam, you can eat of any tree in this garden except for this one. But what does Satan say? Did God really say you can't eat of any tree? It's a lie. Which tells us it's important for you and I to know the word of God. Because the enemy will try to distort and manipulate the word of God. And it may sound like the word of God, but it's not the word of God. Did God really say you can't eat of any tree in this garden? Well, no, that's not true. Some people may say, well, why would God even place the tree in the garden in the first place? You see, because we are made in his image, which means that you and I have the ability, we have free will, the ability to choose and to decide for ourselves. God gave Adam and Eve the decision to choose right and wrong. Did God really say you can't eat of any fruit of this garden? No, he put the odds in your favor. And then Eve responds and says, well, God said we can't eat of this tree, but actually, even if we touch the fruit, that we'll die. And then temptation begins. Because Satan starts to say, well, surely you won't die if you touch the fruit, if you eat the fruit. For God knows if you actually do this, you'll actually become like him. You'll know good and evil. You'll be like God. Isn't that how temptation starts? Begin to justify, begin to rationalize in our own minds, go against what God has already given us clear instructions to do. The Bible says that the tree became, it started to look good and look delightful in the eyes of Eve. That's how temptation begins. It's like for me, late night, the Oreos look really good at a certain time of night to me, right? That Baskin Robbins sign just, it shines a little bit brighter at a certain time of night. The Krispy Kreme, hot and ready, is just glowing. It's a sign. It's a sign. We can laugh about that. But what about the other temptations that we have? The temptations of looking at things on the internet that we know we aren't supposed to be looking at. The temptation of, I'm going to have one more drink, I'll be fine. Surely I won't die. Surely I'll be okay. One more drink won't hurt. If I hang out with this group of people, surely things won't go bad. I'll be okay. What about the temptation? Surely God will forgive me if I don't forgive this person, because I can rationalize and justify why I don't need to forgive somebody in my mind. I don't know about you. Eve looks at the fruit and it starts to look good to her. And she takes the fruit and she eats of it. And in that moment, Eve decided, I'm going to choose my own way. I'm going to choose my own pleasures, what looks good to me, instead of what God intended for me. All sin for us, it boils down to us wanting to be like God. To be Lord of our own lives. To be Lord over our own pleasures, over our bodies, over our finances, over our futures. It's pride. And Eve eats of this fruit, and then she hands it over to Adam, and they both eat of this fruit. We don't know if it was an apple. Apple's gotten a bad rep. We don't know. It might have been a banana. Who knows? But they eat of this fruit. And the Bible says that when they eat of this fruit, their eyes are open and they realize that they are naked and they become ashamed. Now, I find that very interesting, because if you go back to Genesis 2, what takes place is God creates Adam. And he says it's not good for him to be alone, so I'm going to make a helper fit for him. And so he puts Adam to sleep, and from his rib, he creates Eve. And when Adam wakes up, you've probably heard this at a wedding passage before, in a wedding ceremony, he wakes up and says, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Woo! Man, that's what I'll call it, right? I thought that was a good joke. Nobody really laughed, but it's all right. First service gave me some good laughs. And the way chapter 2 ends, verse 25, it says, they were naked and unashamed. Fast forward to Genesis 3. they've now eaten of the fruit. It says that they realized that they were naked. They realized that they were exposed. They realized that they were vulnerable, and they became ashamed. They felt guilty. They felt gross. That's exactly what sin does in our lives. Sin feels good for a moment, but it always leaves us feeling gross. It always leaves us feeling dirty and feeling bad and feeling shame and guilt. And that's something that God never intended for his people to experience. They take of this fruit, they realize they're naked, and then when they become ashamed, they take these fig leaves and they start trying to cover themselves. They try to cover up their bodies, their nakedness. Human nature put on display in Genesis 3. Have you tried to cover yourself before when you've messed up? I know for me growing up, I definitely tried to cover myself. I wasn't a bad kid, but I was a talkative kid. So that meant I got a lot of notes sent home growing up. And it was the kind of notes that a teacher said, you need to show your parents, you need to show your mom, and you need to get this note signed and brought back to class, right? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about? Well, mama wasn't gonna find out, okay? So in order to cover myself, what I would do is I would take those signatures that I knew she would put and I would try to trace it. I know this is bad, kids. Please don't take after me. Be better than me. But I would take those signatures and I would forge a signature on there, right? Trying to cover myself. She's probably listening to this message. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. What about in high school? When I would skip class, my brother and I would skip class and they would call the house phone. Who still has a house phone, right? My parents actually still do. They would call the house phone and leave a message. Tevin was not present in class. We would rush home and try to delete it off the answering machine so Mom and Dad wouldn't find out. We would never, never try to forge Dad's signature. We would never try to pull it over on Dad, right? Because that would be a death sentence right there if Dad found out. What were we doing? We were trying to cover up ourselves. You may be saying, well, Tevin, that's really bad. I can't believe you did that as a kid. You got some stuff that you're covering up too. I'm just the one with the mic right now. Right? You want to talk about that closet that you got in your house that you just throw stuff in and you hide stuff? People come over and you say, it just goes in this closet. You can't even close it. You got to lean all your weight into it to close it, right? It's like Monica and Friends, that junk closet that she's got. What about the junk closet in your life that you're just shoving stuff in, trying to hide? You want anybody to see that. The parts of your life that you say, nobody's ever going to know this. It's stuff that I'm just going to sweep under the rug. And in our own strength, we try so many different ways to cover up our weaknesses, cover up our shortcomings, cover up our sins. We jump into relationships that we know will never fill a void. We reach for the bottle that we know will just leave us feeling empty. We take another substance knowing that this is not who we really are. Could it be that we even strive and chase after success in a career to cover up the inadequacies that we feel in our own souls, that we are not enough, but we want to appear to be like we have it all together to those around us? How are you covering yourself today? Adam and Eve take these fig leaves and they try to cover up their nakedness. And then they hear God walking in the garden. And when they hear God walking in the garden, they hide themselves. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. And God asks a very important question to them. He says, where are you? Now, God does not ask, where are you? Because he can't find them like you and I can't find our keys in the morning. He says, where are you? Because he wants Adam and Eve to recognize and to verbalize exactly where they are. I'd like to ask you the question today. Where are you? Are you hiding from God? Are you attempting to cover yourself? God says, where are you? And Adam comes out and says, God, we hid because we were naked and we were ashamed. We were afraid. And God says, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat from? And look at what Adam does. This is perfect leadership right here from Adam. He immediately points his finger and says, Lord, it was the woman that you gave me. It was her fault. Advice, fellas, don't do that. Don't do that. Then God looks at Eve and says, what have you done? Eve, not owning up to her own sin, she says, well, it was the serpent, Lord. Neither one of them owning up to their own sin, taking responsibility. God then turns his attention to the serpent and he speaks to the serpent. Look what he says to the serpent. He says this, verse 15. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is a foreshadowing to Christ and the victory that he will have through his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he looks back at Adam and Eve and he tells them consequences of their sins. And then God does something very powerful in the middle of their brokenness, in the middle of their sin. Look what he does in verse 21. It says that, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. God killed an animal in front of them. And for the very first time, a sacrifice was made to cover their sins. Now, there's some people in the room that may know where I'm about to go. Because I hadn't really preached yet. I just been setting it all up. God provided a sacrifice, a substitute sacrifice to cover the sins of Adam and Eve in the middle of their brokenness. In the middle of their brokenness, he covers them. When it says that the covering that God provided for them, the garments, that Hebrew word would signify a covering, a garment from head to toe. God did for them what they could not do for themselves. Their attempt to cover their own sin was cute, but it was not enough. And this would actually start a sacrificial system that would be established between God and his people. But God, being infinite in wisdom, knew that this would not be enough for his people, because people would bring their sacrifice to the temple and they would be killed. The animal would be killed and the forgiveness of sins would be atoned, but it would not suffice. It would just last for a little bit, because then they would have to bring another sacrifice to the temple. Later on, the Bible says that there will be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. What am I trying to say? 2,000 years ago, God sent his son to be the substitute sacrifice for all of humanity. Now let's read Romans 5:17 again. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the man, one man, Jesus Christ. Paul is making this connection between Adam and Jesus. And there's some things that they have in common, but there's some differences between the two of them as well. You see, because Adam, one man, through one man came sin. Through one man came condemnation. Through one man came death. And put in the same position as Adam, you and I would have done the same thing. And actually, the truth is, we have already made that decision. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You and I have fallen short of God's glory, and we have all sinned. Not some of us, but all of us. Ephesians 2 tells us that by nature, we are children of wrath, that we were dead in our trespasses. But two of the most powerful words when put together in Scripture, but God being rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was our sacrifice. Jesus took our place. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. I want to ask you today, are you covered? Are you covered? Adam's pain, will be linked to thorns as a consequence of his sin. As Jesus went to the cross, they would place a crown of thorns on his head. Adam's life was cursed because of a tree. They would nail Jesus to a cursed tree. God sent his son to live among his people and to face the same temptations that you and I face, but he did not sin. He lived a perfect life. And they hung him on a cross. And he hung there between two thieves. Can you see him on the middle cross? One of the thieves said, "You're a liar. You're a fake." The other thief said, "Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" As if there's only two places to be in this life. What will you do with the man on the middle cross? What will you do with the substitute sacrifice given for all of humanity once and for all? Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Because with his arms stretched out wide, he had you and me in mind. Have you considered what he's done? That while he hung on the middle cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He cries out and says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" For he who knew no sin became sin, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. What that means is every sin, every wrong that you and I have committed and will ever commit, he took the penalty. He took the shame. He took the guilt. He took the judgment. He took the death that you and I deserve. So whoever he sets free is free indeed. I'm asking, are you covered today? Can you see him hanging on the middle cross? Can you see him today? Have you considered? Colossians tells us that all things are created for him, by him, through him. You realize he made the tree that they hung him on? He hung on the middle cross being mocked by Roman soldiers. That cross belonged to me. That cross belonged to you. Pilate thought that he was taking his life. Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus said, "No one takes my life. I lay it down." They did not kill Jesus. He gave up his life. Have you considered that he's more than just a sacrifice? He's not just a lamb in the Old Testament that they would bring to the temple. That even as he hung on that cross, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That as he breathed his last breath and said, "It is finished," the elements of the world responded to the fact that the Creator God had given up his life, and it went dark. And for 3 days, all hope was lost. And followers of Jesus, like you and me, went running and scared for their life, thinking that they would be next. And he was in the grave all day Friday. He was in the grave all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he rose again. He was not just a sacrifice. He defeated hell, sin, and the grave. So you and I don't have to face sin anymore. You and I don't have to be bound by our sin any longer. Are you trying to cover yourself today? Are you trying things in your own strength? Are you hiding from God today? I believe Jesus is looking at you from the middle cross saying, "Give me your sin, son. I've taken it." You're already forgiven. You're covered. By his stripes, we are healed. Are you covered today? So when we look at Genesis, don't just stop at the disobedience and stop at the sin of Adam and Eve. Understand that even in their brokenness, even in their sin, God showed up and he said, "I will make a way." God has made a way for you today in 2023. It still stands. His blood can conquer all. There's nothing that you have done that's not covered by the blood of Jesus. There's no sin. There's nothing in your past. There's nothing what others have said about you. There's nothing that the enemy can put in front of you that has not been paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He took my place and he took your place. And there's really only two places for us today. For the believers in the room, it's remembering that sacrifice. We have communion set up in the room for us believers to take communion and to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, how we are covered by his blood. And then the others in the room, maybe you've yet to receive Jesus. You've heard about him today. You've been checking things out. You've been hiding from God. But he's saying right now, where are you? You're already forgiven. The price has been paid. All you got to do is receive it. I want to invite every head to be bowed and every eye closed for a moment of privacy. If you today would like to make the decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to make a decision for the very first time today to follow him, on the count of three, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand. And the reason why I want you to raise your hand, because I believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it becomes more real to you. Some of our team, we will have our eyes open because we want to see you. We want to come alongside you and congratulate you, but to help you begin this journey of following Jesus. So if that's you, on the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three, all across the room. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise it high. Raise it high. Keep it in the air. Keep it in the air. I see hands in the room. I see hands in the room. Praise God. Praise God. Now, with every eye open now, I want you to look at me. This message matters so much. And scripture would actually tell us that if Jesus did not rise again, if he didn't come back from the grave, then we out of all people are most to be pitied. But because he did, it changes everything about our lives. And I wonder if for the believers in the room today, if we would live a life knowing and live a life like we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That if we would go around and take this gospel, this good news, and let people know that you're already covered, you just got to receive it. When you go to your neighborhood pool, that you'll look at the families there and say, you're covered. You just got to receive it. Kids, when you go to your school, you look at your friends, your classmates, and say, you're covered. You just got to receive it. What would happen if we lived on mission like the early disciples did in the book of Acts, where they realized, man, there's something that happened on that cross, and we saw him walk through our locked doors, and we saw the piercings in his hand, and we saw the hole in his side. It was actually Jesus. We talked to him. We touched him. Our lives have been changed forever. What would happen if we lived like that? We wouldn't be able to contain it in this room, I'll tell you that. There's not a scheme from the enemy that could stop that movement. So let me compel you, not let me compel you, let the gospel, let the work of Jesus Christ compel you to live a life beyond yourself. Is what Paul would later say in Romans 12, because of all of this, live your life as a living sacrifice. What would happen if we lived our life as a living sacrifice? Because he already went and paid the price for our sins, and he was the last sacrifice that could ever atone for our sins. Let's live like it, church. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for these moments that we have together. And as we move into response, as we take communion as believers, let us remember what it is that you have saved us from. Let us remember where we were in our hiding, in our covering, in our own strength when you called our name and you said, where are you? Let us not forget. Let us not blow past what you have done for us on the cross. And I pray because of what you have done on the cross that we would realize that that message is not just for us, but it's for everyone that you have created. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, they're made in your image. And you love them. And you desire to see all men turn to you. So let us live a life as a living sacrifice, bringing glory to you, pointing out not our own strength, not our own abilities, but looking to you. That when people see us, they see some broken people that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're doing. And we praise you in advance for what you're going to do in the days ahead. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. And everybody said, amen.